Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Well, as we move and groove into the rhythm of today's episode, we invite you folks to consider the following. How can blindness elevate our experience of dance? Fall for Dance North Scholar in Residence Devin Healy and Artist in Residence AC Mensa collaborate to create a new work that offers more than meets the eye. I am so pleased to welcome both to the show today. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Devin Healy and AC Munson. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. Coming up on the show today, Devin Healy is an assistant professor of disability studies at OISE University of Toronto. All of her work is grounded in her experience as a blind woman guided by a desire to show how blindness specifically and disability more broadly can be understood as offering an alternate form of perception and is thus a valuable and creative way of experiencing and knowing the world. She is the author of Dramatizing Blindness, Disability Studies as Critical Creative Narrative, Palgrave Macmillan. Joining Devin is AC Mensa, an award-winning choreographer, director, dancer, movement director, educator, and TEDx speaker. She is a powerful voice that is shaping the future of performance across dance, theater, opera, and film and TV. Adora nominated artist AC has worked with global superstars like Rihanna, Nelly Furtado, Kenny Ortega, Canada's Got Talent, AGO, and the Toronto Raptors. It is my great, great pleasure to welcome both to Turnout Radio. AC, Devin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. My cheeks are trying to kiss my earlobes right now. I'm so excited.
Oh, I love how you said that. Your cheeks are trying to kiss your earlobes. That's brilliant. I'm going to take that one, Devin Healy.
It's yours.
Well, welcome to the show, Devin. Welcome, AC. AC, how are you doing on this great day that we've been given? How are you?
I'm doing beautiful. It is the end of a 2-week process right now for me. We have 2 more weeks to go, but I'm feeling really fortunate and very proud of myself and my team right now. It's been great.
Wonderful to hear, AC. I look forward to delving more into that as we continue our conversation. And Devin Healy is in the house. Devin, how are you? First time on Turnout Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm on cloud nine. I am fantastic. I feel so honored to be sharing the microphone with AC and to be in your company. Nicole, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, what a pleasure indeed. Thank you in return to the both of you for joining me today. I have been waiting with bated breath to sit down with the both of you and to really move into a space of delving further into the work that you are doing in and outside of Fall for Dance North. But before I do, I'd like to take a step back and provide our audience with some context about where your connection began. And so, AC, can you share with us, how did the collaboration begin between the both of you? Where was it birthed?
Rob Benet. And Devin can definitely share more because her and Rob have a longstanding friendship, but also work relationship as well. But as a collaborator, co-creator with Rob, as he was manifesting the ideas of this festival, he very early on was really interested and intrigued about Devin and I coming together. And I was really excited about that because seeing some of the bits of what she's done with Rob through his work over the years, I was really excited to have somebody find ways to articulate language of the African diaspora in that way. I think oftentimes language can be so different and sometimes even controversial when it's placed on our bodies with the movement practice that we do. And so I was deeply intrigued about finding somebody who found a beautiful language to accompany the work that we do. And so we're still at, I would say, in the baby steps of finding our ways within each other, but I'm really excited about having somebody with a very different point of view that sees the body and sees the heart in the dance and finds ways to allow everybody to experience it in this way. So I'm really, really excited and honored to be able to share, you know, what will be a 1-week journey with Devin for the festival.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And Devin, your thoughts?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. AC, there's so much, but what you said in particular about language and the body, and you said, I just thought it was so beautiful the way that you said putting language to our body. And that's something that I found myself working within, in particular, my entry point being blindness. And thinking about the very quiet and powerful work that sightedness does, what we do to and with each other through our eyes, that is quite an intimate experience with ourselves, and plural on the selves, that when asked to articulate that quiet, silent work of sight, we begin to feel the tensions that exist in the act of looking and seeing and of being seen. And I think that blindness offers us this moment of pause to consider how it is we look and how we see, how we move together. And I'm really excited to be able to explore that with you and to be brought together through our mutual love of Rob Benet. I mean, Rob's deep passion for dance and the stories that the body can communicate and explore, I think, is what brought us together as well, is his love and your love of story and my own too, that it's a real coming together, as you say. It's a growing relationship, our baby steps together yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it.
And a warm hello to Rob Benet. Robert Benet is the artistic director and co-CEO at Fall for Dance North. And it is so good to know that he was very instrumental in bringing the both of you together. Now, Devin, I'd like to come back to you. Before the interview, you shared a very intriguing curiosity. And it was about how it is that we come to the sense of connection and what it means to build camaraderie in tandem with rapport. What are your thoughts, Devin? What comes to mind when you think about that sense of connection and what it means to build camaraderie?
Yeah, thanks for that, Nicole. I am a lot of my work leading up to this moment now with AC has been the relationship building, the coming together between these two really powerful characters in our worlds, the character of blindness and the character of sight. And these two have moved together for so many, many moons. And at times they have moved in harmony, and other times their movement has been discordant. But the movement of the two is what has really intrigued me as a blind person who moves with a little bit of sight too. So trying to find and come to know the rhythms of these two characters also within myself and our world. I've been really focused on building rapport, trying to find some sort of relationship where sightedness, who oftentimes is interpreted as the perhaps leading character in this dance, in this movement, trying to find ways where both blindness and sight can be in a dialogue, and not just blindness moving to the monologue of sightedness. And then as I was thinking about this and kind of getting ready for AC and mine's time together and thinking about blindness and sight and also different expressions of movement and of language, AC, as you had mentioned, it got me thinking about camaraderie, the camaraderie between blindness and sight, the camaraderie sometimes that we feel with people with whom we've only just met, and where that comes from and how. And it got me thinking as well about, am I being too linear? Am I thinking rapport must come before camaraderie? Can camaraderie be something that is already there that we just need to discover? And I think that dance and the exploration of dance, in particular with blindness, really offers us a moment to pause, to not rush to the movement, to sit in the movement, and to consider these questions. And that's kind of what I've been thinking about.
Devin, before the break, you spoke about camaraderie and rapport, and you also mentioned the exploration of dance with blindness. Now, your research examines the perception of blindness, and so can you talk about some of the considerations that your research has unveiled?
My relationship with blindness is a delicate, complex unfolding. Every day, I'm coming to know myself as blind, but also getting to know, as Rob McKelko might say, the culture of blindness, the culture of sightedness, in new ways. I wasn't, blindness hasn't always been a part of my life. It's not a new part, but at the same time, it certainly is an old hat. Before blindness made itself noticeable to me, before I felt blindness in my body and then started to have a relationship to my eyes, is that at first, when sightedness was kind of how I thought of myself and knew myself, I thought that blindness only existed in the eyes. I thought that it was strictly a visual happening, and that it was something that you couldn't quite touch, but that you saw. And the first revelation in my journey now into blindness is that it is deeply physical. It is an embodiment. One of the kind of main parts and where my research opens up now and my work in disability studies and blind studies is the embodiment of blindness and the movement of blindness that already exists in the stories that we're telling and within myself.
This is welling up thoughts for me about what the many possibilities can be within the relationship between blindness and sightedness. And so, AC, what comes up for you when you think about these considerations and their relationship to how it is that we tell stories?
There's, Devin, as you just shared about recognizing blindness as something that's beyond the eyes and feeling it into the body. I deeply received that as that feeling and connection with self and what that means. And I have so many questions for you, Devin, in terms of just describing what that is and the journey of that and the unveiling of what that is. And I think of as myself as a storyteller, I'm deeply curious about what does that mean for the body? What does that mean in terms of how the body moves, where the body might feel restricted, where the body might feel hesitant? So I will say that the connection of how all of these pieces come and fold into the body and how in many ways it liberates the body. I think as myself as a storyteller, I'm often really curious about the possibilities more than the restrictions. You know, when I'm working with different bodies from actors to dancers, so often with actors, they're like, well, I can't do what the dancer does. And I say, that's not what I was asking anyway. I was actually asking you to find liberation and freedom in the body. And so for me, I'm really curious for those that moving through the embodiment of blindness, how does that liberate you? How do you see the possibilities? How do you see the openings of what is possible? Because I think as a sighted person, and when the ways in which that we talk about the different abilities, we sometimes think about the different abilities that people have and think about it in a box. And we think about the restrictions of it. And we don't actually give ourselves the chance to think about the possibilities, like that it's just, this was just what you have and this is what you have access to. And what does that access give you permission to do? And so it's really interesting to be in conversation and continue to learn from Devin in every conversation that we have, that it unveils something new that piques my interest and piques my curiosity. Because then as a sighted person, I'm curious about, okay, so where does my body live in relation to this other person that is embodying blindness? And what does that mean for me to embody sightedness?
I'm curious, when we think about what Acy has shared, the disturbance of the perception of what blindness is comes to mind. What are your thoughts, Devin?
Oh, I mean, it's so exciting because, and Acy, you said there, the embodiment of sight. And I think about that embodiment and I think about that movement. Narrative of movement is sight asking of the body. I think about that movement as an away, as like a movement of distance, to create distance from the world, to almost kind of, and I'm pulling the center of my chest, I'm hunching my shoulders forward, kind of concave, and then I'm pulling them up back, that it's almost like I'm stacking my spine and I'm taking the world in from a distance, that there's the world and then there's me. And in some ways I think about sightedness in that way as the production of distance. And we can think of the production of distance and what that represents, the feel of that in many ways. And that's fine. But then I think of, okay, the movement of blindness and what blindness is asking of the body. And blindness will not accept distance, cannot move. It cannot breathe. I cannot exist in a world that is separate from, quote, me, who I am. And so blindness pushes my body. And that's why I had said earlier how I felt blindness before I ever saw it. I must bring myself to the world. I have to touch the world. I have to narrate and kind of explore my movement in the world, because through blindness, I'm touching what your eyes have told you is real. I am coming to touch and be touched by a world that has been marveled at, I think, but rarely traveled through. And there's been a lot of writing and exploration about the blind traveler and blindness as this mover. And I want to extend that work and to think about how we initially conceive of blindness, our sighted imaginaries, as a lack, as kind of cutting us off from the world. And we typically think of movement as very like, and now I'm bringing myself in tight, like almost like I'm a face cloth being wrung out of water, like pulled in tight, I can't move. We think of these stereotypical images of blindness as groping in the air to find this sense of uncertainty. And what is completely surprising and exciting about blindness for me is that it is an expanse. My body opens and feels the world as I encounter it. And I'm excited to work, Acy, with you to get to know the world that you build through touching your movement, through coming to know you. And I think that's now where my question of camaraderie comes from, because I feel in our conversations, I feel that we know each other. And maybe it's because we know each other through our intimate relations with the world. Something tells me you don't thrive through distance. So maybe you got a bit of blindness in you too, hey?
Yeah, I 1,000%. As you're saying that, I think of myself as a storyteller, and I do that because I'm actively thinking about how my body is leading me into each moment that I'm encountering. When I'm thinking about, when I'm working with a script, I have a script, but when I'm thinking about the movement in that script, you know, I want to think about the nuances. Is my body shifting? Is it opening to you? What are the things in which, from an actor standpoint, does that conversation, where does that conversation lead to? And what are all of the nuances that are not on the page that we have to embed into the words that are there? But when I think about dance, where dance doesn't have a script, and I'm often thinking about the script that is told through the movement, told through the choreography, using the choreography as language, as words on the page to be able to dictate the story. And as you're speaking, I feel like I'm hearing parts of myself in terms of the ways in which that I describe things to dancers, in terms of your awareness. Yes, we move with a sightedness, but oftentimes as dance artists, we can find ourselves very narrow-minded and very narrow in view in terms of only not really seeing, not really connecting, not really allowing our bodies to really be fully present in the story. And that when I hear you, Devin, I think about the immersiveness in presence, in the moment, which shatters your ability to think only, like only of your own physical self, and you're seeing yourself in relation to the world around you. And feeling that, especially when you're thinking about performance, feeling that through the body, through your head, through your neck, through your knees, like it's a sensory space that exists all, like that requires all of you to be there. And like that for me is the part that makes it exciting when it comes to storytelling, that I ask for people to bring all of themselves into each moment in the dance, and that it entices and encourages these artists to see differently, to train their eyes to see differently. Yes, you're used to navigating the world as dancers. We're either always looking down or we're looking up, but my eyes are gazed, and so I'm not really focusing. That's something as simple as like, what are you focusing on beyond just your eyes? How is your body present? What is your body's energy? How is your body seeing? How is your body receiving? And I like just, yeah, that correlation to me spans both sighted and blinded. Like there's such a correlation in terms of that interaction of the body. That just opens up so many, yeah, it opens up well.
Nicole, I wonder what you think about this too. Cause like, I've been thinking about, I've written like a dash of this. It's a thought that I need to explore deeper. And through our collaboration and with Rob as well, I've been trying to think through this, but I've been wondering how blindness, when we think about blindness and kind of our sensorium, we typically narrate it as something that damages the sensorium, mm-hmm. and removes that sense, so it's like blindness is the result of a damaged sensorium, so it's not quite there. But I've been trying to explore that blindness is part of our sensorium. Now, I might just happen to have a very robust version or connection and exploration with and of that sense. But I also think that within sighted people, within the sighted sensorium, there is blindness. And it's that we have not nurtured. We've not come to know through, AC, as you say, the stories that we're telling and how we're moving. And I wonder if part of our work now is to kind of awaken that speck of blindness, to move with that speck of blindness that is within us, but we just don't know it.
Devin, that thought that you raised about blindness being a part of the sensorium, that query causes a point of access, I think, to then explore what is our relationship then to our eyes. And what does that reveal about consciousness and awareness and our interpretations of sensory and stimuli? In that space, I'm also thinking about the dimensions between what we see and what we feel. And I say that because I'm thinking about moments of being a younger student and being in the studio space where we were usually surrounded by mirrors. And so we would be looking upon our reflection and witnessing how our bodies would move in time and space and develop upon that. And so the question or the consideration of what we see versus how we feel is also coming up for me in this moment.
You know, I think this, it takes off of something that both of you had said, but when I think about our eyes, what came to me was like, oh, we're only thinking about part, like half of what our eyeball is doing. We're only thinking about the part that projects outwards. We're actually not thinking about the part that projects inwards. That's actually connected to our whole sensory body system. That if we're only thinking about this half, then we're actually not thinking about the part that comes inwards, the part that requires us to have a connection to ourselves. And then that this idea about an embodied blindness is actually just a coming into your own self and your own body, which for me, both, you can live as a sighted person and not actually have a connection to your body and not actually have a connection to who it is that you are and only see the outer projection of you. And this, I think, already melds deeply with a conversation that I think needs to be had as dance artists, as artists in general, is in terms of what is our relationship to ourselves. And I think that, that the journey of blindness gives you a greater understanding of who it is that you are.
What I find extremely intriguing here is then, what does it mean then to embody the fullness and wholeness of who we are without having to rely on what the eyes see?
What a provocative question, particularly in the time that we live in as well, where sightedness and images and communication now through images is becoming more and more prevalent. And as we're brought together in one way, and I'm not, I don't want to like bash technology here, right? Because that's so easy too, you know? Mm-hmm. So like tech does bring us together, like the images, scrolling images do bring us together in one way. But to your point, you're right, the distance that is created when we communicate solely through the eyes. And I don't know if we're attending to, as you say, AC, as well, that then that distance we put between, or we create between the world and ourselves, and ourselves in the world and of the world and actively creating it and being within it. I think that that's the invitation of blindness. And it is an invitation because even as a blind person, sightedness is so strong. The culture of sight is so strong that sometimes I try so hard and I don't even realize that I am, to be and to move and to have the look of sightedness that at times I forget. And the reminder of blindness, I mean, she does not like to be forgotten. And those reminders are strong and they come quick and they are felt. I was thinking of the first time I fell, knowing that I was blind and kind of that boom interaction with the world. I was at a little restaurant downtown Toronto. It's not there anymore, which is a shame. After the pandemic, it was called the Kit Kat. So there were these like really steep steps going down, and the really neat part about that descent into the basement where the washrooms were was you had like this little pocket window into where the kitchen was, and you could hear the activity and the excitement of the chefs at play and kind of all the action around that. And as I was walking towards the stairway and kind of like really trying to feel that rhythm of the space. And I liked it because it was tight. So I could kind of get that feel in that sense. I imagined I made eye contact with one of the chefs. Now, there's no way to know because I'm certainly not going to be the reliable source on this. But I thought I made eye contact with one of the chefs. And I smiled. And I was trying to do that sighted cultural practice of like building a relationship through eye contact. And so I wanted them to know, hey, I'm happy to be here. This is great. I put in an order. I'm really excited. Maybe that's me you're getting ready. I don't know. And I was so wrapped up in that and the thought of being seen and then having to show that I knew that and that I could see too. And I'm going to show you that I can see by smiling back. I stepped down into the stairs. I wasn't listening to the rhythm, right? Because I see the rhythm that sighted people are writing, but I don't write it. But I was trying to get a little tricky and crafty there, trying to write it too. And I wasn't reading properly. And I fell. I just like a drop right in front of that window from the top of the stairs, boom, to the bottom. And I... it wasn't a full lay because it was like my stomach like launched up, then the floor came. It was knees, it was hands, head, and then just the hang of what, you know, what that moment where you've just traveled, you've taken a trip that you didn't pack for. And I was just there and I kind of thought, oh, I need to start moving and engaging with blindness and kind of really beginning to feel like the choreography of what it means to move blind in a world understood as sighted. And I quite literally fell into that. Yeah. And I just feel like with our work, and as you were saying, I think I fell into my body. I fell back into myself. And when you were talking there, AC, you reminded me of that moment of the return.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Thank you. That was Devin Healy and AC Mensa here in the house with me. What a pleasure to have them with me on the show. Stay tuned for part two of our interview coming soon to turnoutradio.com. The question of how can blindness elevate our experience of dance is a query that is raised for the upcoming open rehearsal schedule, which will occur on October 21st straight through to the 23rd at the Fall for Dance North Festival. Witness the real-time generation of movement and immersive descriptive audio as FFDN Scholar-in-Residence Devin Healy and Artist-in-Residence AC Mensa collaborate to create a new work that offers more than meets the eye. Now, immersive descriptive audio, IDA, is the practice of seeing dance through the experience of blindness. We invite you to visit ffdnorth.com and head to Dancing with Blindness Open Rehearsal to learn more about the event occurring again on October 21st, straight through to the 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m. EST at OCADU in the Great Hall, located at 100 McCall Street in Toronto. This has been a wonderful morning of conversation, and we invite you to join us again right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. Thank you for tuning in today to share time and rhythm with us. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.